This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
We'll call the Senate Judiciary Committee to order and ask that the Secretary call the roll.
Senators DeSanto, Kennedy,
here.
Nelson,
here.
Schoenbeck, excused. Stalzer,
here.
Rush,
here.
Russell,
here.
Quorum, Mr. Chair.
We do have a quorum. I'd ask our pages to come up and introduce themselves real quick. Don't be shy. Go ahead.
I'm Brynn Allen. I'm from Sioux Falls, Roosevelt, and I want to go to West Point next year.
I'm Maria Pazor. I'm from Highmore, and I'm going to go to Lake Area for carpentry next year.
Very good. Well, thank you. And thank you for helping us the last couple of weeks. I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
By Senator Kennedy, second by Senator Stalzer. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. We have had two requests to move Senate Bill 54. Senator Rush is working on an amendment with Senator White, so I'd like to defer that to the next meeting. And after we had put out the calendar, Senator Nostrup came to me and asked that Senate Bill 67 be moved because he will not be here today. And so he asked for the 5th day of February. So it's my intention to move Senate Bill 54 to Thursday and Senate Bill 67 to the 5th. So with that, we only have one bill to handle, and that is Judge Rush's bill. So we would take his proponent testimony at this time. Thank you. Good morning, Senator Rush.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'm Senator Art Rush from District 17, and I'm here as a proponent for Senate Bill 59. Senate Bill 59, in a slightly different form, was passed by this body last year and by the Senate, but was killed in the House Judiciary last year, and so I brought it back with some changes that hopefully will overcome some of the objections. But this is basically a transparency bill, and you know, transparency is gotten to be a very big concern about people all through the country. So this is really a very limited transparency bill. You know, it wouldn't apply to private settlements and that, but it applies to state and governmental entities, and it forbids them from entering into secret settlement agreements of civil or lawsuits. And, you know, under the law right now, and I've had that happen many times, the parties, and more so in cases that don't involve the state, but I've had both parties come in to my desk and say, well, we got the lawsuit settled, and here's a settlement agreement, and we're both agreed that it should be a secret settlement agreement and not disclosed. And, you know, there's nobody objecting to that because both lawyers are in agreement to it. And so the court goes ahead and signs that kind of a secret agreement. And, you know, again, if it's just private parties, you know, I can sympathize with that. But if it's a governmental entity that's involved in it, I think that the public has a right to know exactly what is going on as far as settlements. You know, a year ago when I brought this, publicity had just come out from the state of Minnesota that the state of Minnesota had paid, I think, around between $700,000 and $800,000 to employees of the executive branch and the legislative branch for sexual harassment and assaults. And, you know, that had never been disclosed to the public there in Minnesota. You know, actually, last week, I don't know how many of you saw that in the story in the newspaper, but the Brookings School Board entered into a secret settlement agreement with a student who'd claimed that they'd been unfairly deprived of their educational opportunities. And, you know, nobody knows. The settlement was secret, and although it was in the paper that they had reached this agreement, nobody knows what the settlement was. You know, we don't know whether it was $100 or $100,000. And, you know, if I was a taxpayer in Brookings School District, I'd be, you know, kind of upset about that, not knowing exactly what kind of a settlement that they did reach in that. And, you know, further example, I don't know whether any of you noticed, but in the Extraordinary Litigation Fund, when the Governor Dugard talked about budgeting for next year for the Extraordinary Litigation Fund, that he asked for $2.3 million to backfill the Extraordinary Litigation Fund. And I'm sure you know how that goes. It's but I'm assuming that $1.5 million of that was for Laura Kaiser for her lawsuit up in Aberdeen, but there's still $800,000 that I don't know. I don't think any of you know exactly where that money is going, except that it must be some kind of a claim against the state of South Dakota that's being kept confidential. I actually talked to some government entities who have entered into secret settlements agreements, and you know they've told me, and that's certainly not going to be the situation in every case, but they've said, you know, we wish we had this law. If we had this law, when the other party came and said, well, we want a confidentiality agreement, we could have said, sorry, can't do it. And that would have been the end of that. We would have been able to proceed then and without worrying about that, and the taxpayers would ultimately want become knowledgeable about exactly what was settled. You know, I think that it's overwhelmingly apparent now that the public wants to see transparency, particularly when their tax money is involved. And the message that's being given out by the Me Too movement nationwide is that things don't improve until these secret agreements are exposed to the light of day. And, you know, for years, some of these people that are now being accused of wrongful conduct, they paid off these, they had confidentiality agreements, and nobody knew anything about it. Now, lawyers are going to tell you that this will make a settlement of lawsuits more difficult, and I don't disagree with that. You know, it might make the settlements more difficult because a party is going to not want to have their wrongdoing disclosed, and so that indeed that might. But on the other hand, eventually, those lawsuits that we're going to settle, I think, will eventually settle. Because the other alternative to the party, you know, do they want a one day's bad news in the paper about the fact that they've settled that, and they can still disclaim any liability in the settlement agreement, or do they want to go to trial and have, you know, days of bad news in the newspaper? And, you know, I actually wonder if it won't lead to earlier settlements in some cases, because of the fact that this does not cover anything other than settlements of lawsuits. So if a party can settle it before a lawsuit is filed, so there's no settlement of a lawsuit, you know, then the public still wouldn't know, which may be good or may not be good, but, you know, there's still a motivation then to do that earlier. Victims' advocates who were one of our main opponents last year will tell you that victims need to remain anonymous. And I understand that. You know, last year my argument was that a balancing of the rights of the victim as opposed to the rights of the public, that I came down on the side of the public. You know, I don't want to fight that this year, so I did add language in on page one of the bill, lines 7, 8, and 9, that provides that for good cause shown, a court may order the redaction of the name of any victim of crime within an agreement under this section. So, you know, that should resolve their concerns about victims being identified. The governor's office also came to me with concerns about some partial settlements where the state is involved in a suit with multiple parties, and they don't want to have the results of the early
parts of the lawsuit that might get settled revealed to the others, because it may have a chilling effect on the settlement of the lawsuit. So I do have an amendment today, 59JA, that I've handed. Have all the members seen that? So, and that's basically done at the request of the governor's office, and fulfills their concerns about that they wouldn't have to disclose partial settlements until the entire lawsuit was settled. So I'm going to be moving that amendment. I also talked to, I think it was the bankers here, who are concerned that a portion that we'd added in last year did not end up in what we printed up this year. And, you know, I haven't had a chance to check on that, but certainly if there was something that we inadvertently left out of there before it goes to the floor, I'm going to work with them as far as getting that fixed in here. So we have... So that's basically this is a transparency bill. And, you know, it's my feeling that the taxpayers have a right to know where their money's going. And if no one finds out about problems that are happening, then they're unlikely to be fixed. And that's kind of the goal of this bill. And I hope that the committee would support that. And I'll stand by for any questions.
Thank you for your testimony. Further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 59. Good morning.
Chairman, members of the committee, David Bordewijk, registered lobbyist for South Dakota Newspaper Association. We represent the state's 125 weekly newspapers and daily newspapers. We want to thank Senator Rush for bringing this bill before you today. We support Senate Bill 59. We believe it's a reasonable, balanced, open government bill to help protect the public's right to know and to know how taxpayer dollars are spent. Senator Rush mentioned the confidential settlement a few weeks ago in Brookings. Many of you probably recall the settlement a few years ago involving the issue of warped exterior panels at the Denny Sanford Premier Center in Sioux Falls. In 2014, the city of Sioux Falls raised questions regarding the metal panels on the newly constructed building. The city eventually reached a settlement agreement with a general contractor and some subcontractors on that project. In 2015, the Sioux Falls Argus Leader sued to find out the details of that settlement. In 2017, the state Supreme Court ruled that the city of Sioux Falls must make public that settlement agreement. In its majority opinion, the state Supreme Court recognized the presumption of openness that was created in our state's public records laws in 2009, and the court highlighted the significance of 1-27-1.3, which states in part that whenever the expenditure of public funds is involved, the presumption of openness should be liberally construed in order that the citizens of the state should have a full right to know and have full access to information on the public finances of government. All along, the public had been led to believe that the city of Sioux Falls had received $1 million cash as a result of that settlement reached between the city and the contractors. But the details of the once secret contract negotiated by the parties showed that the settlement was more complex than taxpayers were led to believe. Once the settlement agreement was made public, we learned that the city did not receive $1 million in cash, and in fact, the agreement called for the city to pay out hundreds of thousands of dollars that officials didn't disclose when the settlement was announced. In other words, the devil's in the details. And that is why this bill is important to protecting the public's right to know. This bill would help ensure that the taxpayers may come to know and understand the details in a settlement reached between government and another party. Some would argue that this bill will have a chilling effect on private entities wanting to engage in providing goods and services to government, or that it will raise the cost of government because more entities will be reluctant to do business with government. I do not believe that is true. We must balance the expectations of private entities or individuals doing business with the government with the rights of taxpayers to know clearly and transparently how their tax dollars are being spent. What you see before you today in Senate Bill 59 is basically standard operating procedure in most states around the country. Senate Bill 59 provides balance. This bill does specify that information in a settlement agreement that is otherwise exempted from disclosure by 127.1.5 need not be disclosed to the public as part of the settlement. In other words, trade secrets, proprietary information, appraisal information, or any other of the 27 exceptions listed in 1-27.1.5 would not be required to be disclosed as part of a settlement. This provides latitude and flexibility to parties and government when the settlement agreement is being negotiated. Several years ago, a newspaper editor wrote an editorial stating that taxpayers had a right to know the terms of a payout by the state to a woman regarding an incident involving a highway patrolman. After that editorial was published, the editor received a phone call from then-Governor Bill Janklow, who told the editor the settlement was for $100,000. The governor agreed that the public had the right to know, and when questioned by the editor why the information had been released, Governor Janklow replied, "Because nobody asked." Well, perhaps that was no one asked then, but people are asking now. I believe that there is without a doubt a greater expectation today by the public to know what is exactly when and how taxpayer funds are being used. Because lacking that information, the public is left to wonder on its own, and that is when there's fuel for mistrust and wide speculation by the public. Governor Noem was asked about this bill last week during a Newspaper Day press conference here in Pierre. She said, and I agree with this, when there's a settlement involving government and taxpayer funds, taxpayers have a right to see a receipt. Senate Bill 59 is a good bill that helps support confidence by the public and government and tamps down the speculation and rumors that may otherwise come about. We believe Senate Bill 59 perhaps may be the most important open government transparency bill before you this session, and we urge you to vote yes. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Further proponent testimony. Further proponent testimony. Good morning.
Good morning, Chairman Russell, members of the committee. My name is Tom Hart, and I'm with the governor's office. And we're here to also support Senate Bill 59. As Senator Rush has stated, we have worked with him to help alleviate any concerns that we had. He's been very open to alleviate that. But Governor Noem and the current administration believes in transparency in government. It's one of the pillars that we run on. And we feel that if your money, your state taxpayers' dollars are spent, that should not be confidential. The only time where this should be confidential is when we're trying to protect victims' rights. In fact, the state does have a policy. If we are in litigation, we have a policy that we do not request nor make any agreements confidential unless the other party demands it as part of terms of the conditions to settle or as to protect victims. So I ask for your support on Senate Bill 59. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hart. Further proponent testimony? Hearing none. Opponent testimony? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Again, good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Brett Kennecke. I'm a lawyer from Pierre. I'm representing this morning both the Bankers Association and the investor-owned electric utilities. As Senator Rush alluded to in his testimony, we're looking to work with him on an amendment. These two sections of code that are in this bill need to be knit together. And last year they were. If you go back and look at the amendment last year to 84, we had an amendment. This year it would go on line 11 after 1.3. It would say, comma, and section 1 of this act. And that knits these two sections together so that the protections Mr. Bordewick spoke to you about in his testimony come to life. So the source of our opposition is that we need to have protection to the trade secrets and the other things in the list of 28 that works into section 1 of the bill, and I'll be working with Senator Rush to put an amendment together on the floor. I think we can do that fairly easily, but I do want to put the committee on notice that we'll be opposed to this bill until we get that amendment crafted and put forward. We did it last year. If you go back and look at 84, that's how 84 got amended, and if we do something similar this year, we'll be just fine. So, thank you much.
Thank you for your testimony. Further opponent testimony. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Bill Van Camp. I'm an attorney here in Pierre, and I'm a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Retailers Association. We opposed this bill last year, and I think there was a prior year where something similar was introduced, and we opposed it really for
for grounds that I'll get into a little more closely, but as I listened to the testimony, it kind of struck me, and maybe I missed this last year. What this bill is targeting isn't our members. It isn't the businesses in South Dakota that we represent. It's the expenditure of state dollars to settle these claims or lawsuits. I haven't heard it turned on its head or the coin turned over. Our concern is our members oftentimes interact with state government, municipal government, and may run afoul, unintentionally as it may be, of a certain ordinance, a statute, a rule of an agency. And then we find ourselves subject to litigation risk, costs, expenses, and we might settle. And that might involve a situation where we have to pay a fine or we have to pay a tax or some other measure. So I don't think that's what's intended here and what the senator is trying to pick up with this bill. But there's value to those businesses to settle these cases. And there's lawyers on this panel that know that value is it's avoiding costs of litigation. It's avoiding the uncertainty of the outcome. But there's also immense value to keeping one's, you know, details and specifics out of the paper. So I don't have an amendment. I haven't spoken to Judge Rush about this, but it seems to me that there's another side to this coin, which doesn't involve the expenditure of state dollars. It involves a private business that's making a decision to settle a claim that it may very well dispute, but for litigation costs and risks, it's willing to just settle the matter and to have it be resolved. And I think that's different than what this bill intends, but the unintended consequence of how it's drafted is that any party in a civil action or proceeding involving monetary damages or equitable relief cannot settle in a confidential manner. And so that may be problematic for us. It was in the past. I do think the amendment that the judge offered is a step in the right direction, it seems to me, in that allowing a party to settle pre-litigation. We all know that once a lawsuit is filed or if there's a docket open-end in an agency action, that that's public record. And so anyone can see that. But oftentimes, interactions with agencies and offices of the state government will be settled immediately if it's just an oversight. And so I think that allows us to do that without necessarily flashing our names in lights just for an honest mistake. So I think this bill is better than it was last year with the amendment offered. I still think it has some room to get better yet, at least for the business climate. And for that reason, we would oppose. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Further opponent testimony. Good morning.
Members of the committee, I'm Steve Siegel, and I'm the registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Trial Lawyers Association. We, too, stand in opposition to this bill. And with all due respect to Judge Rush, and I have a lot of respect for him, transparency is a good thing, but at what cost? At what cost? I'm afraid this bill is going to have wide-ranging implications, more so than we honestly know. A number of these claims are embarrassing not only for the plaintiff but for the defendant, whether it be the state or a municipality. A lot of times both parties want these claims to go away quickly because the facts are embarrassing, an unfortunate situation happened, and that's one reason for confidentiality agreements. One thing that I thought of, a number of nursing homes and hospitals are owned by municipalities, and I think about medical negligence claims involving hospitals. Typically, the only impetus for a hospital or for a doctor to settle a claim is to keep it confidential. They do not want it to become public in their city or town, and these things are going to end up in the newspaper. Obviously, we have the Newspaper Association here testifying in favor of it. But it is really going to take away the impetus to settle these claims in a lot of situations. And a lot of these cases involve embarrassing situations, again, whether they be fistulas or a you know, surgery gone wrong or whatever it may be. And the plaintiffs in those cases do not want that information to become public, and neither do the doctors or the hospitals. This bill will significantly increase litigation. I mean, here we talk about we need to reduce litigation. We need to have tort reform. I hear that often. Well, this bill is going to do the opposite. It's going to increase. You're going to have more cases going to trial without question. And the defense costs for the state's lawyers are going to skyrocket, especially the private counsel that's hired in these cases. The defense costs are going to go way up. I don't think there's any doubt about that. You're going to see many more cases going to trial. Many of these claims, members of the committee, involve no taxpayer money. One of the things I heard Governor Noem said, cases that involve taxpayer funds should be public and not secret. A lot of these cases don't involve any public funds. They only involve insurance. There's no public funds involved, no taxpayer money. This is just, these are claims that are covered by insurance. Now, you could make an argument, well, it's possible that the premiums may go up slightly or something like that. But the fact is, a number of these claims are going to involve insurance companies that have underwritten this risk, and those are all going to have to become a matter of public record, too. That's a wide-ranging implication that's going to affect a number of claims. You know, we had a lot of talk the last few years about Marcy's Law to protect victims of crimes. What about victims of civil wrongs, whether it be sexual harassment, retaliation, sexual assault? Now, that's not a civil wrong. That's probably and I know we've got protection for victims of that. But what about these other embarrassing, you know, claims? Neither the political subdivision nor the victim want those things to end up in the newspaper and to have their neighbors and coworkers and friends know about this stuff. It's not good public policy, in my opinion. People are gonna learn about this stuff, and there's a good reason on both sides to settle a lot of these claims quickly and without litigation that people are gonna find out about. So again, with all due respect to Judge Rush and Representative Johnson, we stand in opposition to this bill, and I thank you for your time. I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you for your testimony. Further opponent testimony. Good morning.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, Doug Abraham, I'm a registered lobbyist for the Property Casualty Insurers Association of America. I'm also an attorney from Peer, and primarily an insurance defense attorney from Peer. And I want to make that distinction, sort of a historic legislative moment, bringing the trial lawyers and the insurance lobby together to oppose the same bill. And I want to highlight a couple points that Mr. Siegel made in a little different capacity. You heard the proponents of this bill speak about government and taxpayer funds. However, this doesn't apply just to the state, and I'll acknowledge the extraordinary litigation dollars that Judge Rush talked about. Those are certainly state dollars. However, when we talk about a settlement by a political subdivision, those are your school districts, your cities, your local police forces that are generally insured either by a risk pool or by a separate policy placed with just a normal property casualty insurer, someone defending them and insuring them against liability there. We're not talking generally about the payment of actual taxpayer dollars there unless we're talking about premium. And then when we start talking about premium, that's an important thing to consider because this will undoubtedly make it more difficult to settle cases. It will drive up the cost of litigation and ultimately will drive up costs as a whole. Now, one thing that does, from an insurance standpoint, is that unquestionably has a potential to drive premium. Now, actuaries haven't had the chance to evaluate this specific law. However, anytime you eliminate the ability, and many times it will, I've had specific cases where working for political subdivisions who were privately insured, if we could not have a confidential settlement, we would not have settled the case early on. It was questionable cases, but cases that have the potential to be inflammatory on both sides, where both parties are well served in settling it early on, this bill will eliminate that. It will eliminate potential, and it creates further questions about insurability of some of these political subdivisions and certainly cost-effective insurability for these political subdivisions. So I would just suggest that, you know, this goes much broader than just the payment of government and taxpayer funds. You know, this is insurance proceeds, in many cases not involving a single dollar of government and taxpayer funds that we're now opening the book on. From a regulatory standpoint, we're also opening the book on settlements and contested cases before our state agencies. And I think that's inherently problematic. And it will discourage entities that are now before a regulator from entering into a consent decree and resolving their dispute early on, if that's going to be opened up and it's going to be reported anytime they're before that regulator or a regulator in another state where they do business. So I just encourage you to oppose the bill. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Further opponent testimony to Senate Bill 59. Hearing none, we would give the judge an opportunity for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee. You know, I certainly hear the objections here, and you know, when we hear that this doesn't, these settlements do not involve state money, they involve insurance money. But again, where do the premiums come from? That is state money. So I think that's an important distinction to make on that. Will this increase the cost of litigation? You know, I don't know. And nobody can foresee the future about that. You know, I think it's possible that it'll decrease litigation, that cases that are going to settle will still settle. I think it's possible that people will settle, parties will settle it sooner before there's lawsuits filed in order to make sure that they don't come within this statute. You know, Mr. Boardwick talked about the other states that have similar disclosure, no secret settlements laws, and I've looked at those, and admittedly, I haven't researched about insurance costs in those other states, but, you know, I think if there was some kind of an increase in the insurance costs in these other states, that we would hear about that. And, you know, I just think that, you know, it comes down, you know, yes, indeed, the opponents may be correct that it will increase the cost of the litigation. I won't dispute that because I don't know. But the balancing of the public's right to know against those extra costs, I think, are what's really important in this case. And I would urge you to support this. And I guess I should move 59 JA at this time.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to amend. Any discussion on that motion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Okay. So anyway, I'm not going to beat this anymore, but I would urge the committee to approve this.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. At this time, are there any questions by members of the committee? Senator Kennedy.
Thank you. Senator Rush.
Trying to get out of a hot seat.
Well, this won't be hot. I'm just curious. On page 6 of the bill, you've added an exception to what is a public record.
Okay.
And I was curious the reason for adding that particular exception.
Okay. That exception 28 that you're referring to was added last year at the request of the South Dakota Investment Council and South Dakota Retirement System. And the reason that they presented for that and why I went along with that was that they join in a number of investment pools that are very lucrative for their investments, that most of those investment pools require that they have to allow the management of the pool to enter into confidential settlements, or else they would not be allowed to enter into the pool, the investment pool. So that's why we put that exception in there.
Thank you.
Further questions by members of the committee?
And I guess if I could explain, we also put in there that if there's some kind of a finding of liability on either the investment council or the retirement system, then it would still be disclosed. But most of these are nothing where there's any claim of liability on the part of the state of South Dakota or any of its entities.
Okay, thank you. Further committee questions? Hearing none. We would I would entertain a motion. Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move do pass.
We have a motion by Senator Nelson, do pass, second by Senator Kennedy. Any discussion on that motion? Hearing none, I'd ask the Secretary to call the roll.
Senators DeSanto, excused. Kennedy?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Schoenbeck, excused. Stalzer?
Aye.
Rush?
Aye.
Russell?
Aye.
Five ayes.
Motion passes. That concludes our agenda for today. We'll look forward to seeing you again bright and early on Thursday.